It became dark. And in fact, when we think about the truly bad things that had happened to Jesus leading up to this, much of it had been in the dark. He was arrested by his betrayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in the dark. He was brought before the Sanhedrin and high priest in the dark. And now as he hung on that cross at 12 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of a Middle Eastern sun, the sky turned dark. This was not a natural phenomenon. It was a supernatural one. God's judgment was nearing. Remember the story of the Exodus? The Hebrew people are slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh. And Moses is sent by God to free the people. And he goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh refuses. And through Moses, God tells Pharaoh that plagues will be unleashed on the people of Egypt until the people are freed. And plague after plague after plague, eight of them in nature, are unleashed on the Egyptian people, but not on the Hebrew slaves. And then on the ninth plague, total darkness covered the entire land. This was the penultimate plague because one more was coming. God's judgment was coming, and it wouldn't just be on the Hebrew, on the Egyptian people. It was going to also be on the Hebrew people. It would be on everyone in Egypt. We talked about this last week. God told the Hebrew people, "If you desire to survive, you must put your trust in me. Sacrifice a lamb. Put its blood on your door, and the angel of death will pass over you." As God's judgment was inflicted upon Egypt, and the firstborn was killed in every family. Jesus hung on the cross in the darkness, bearing the judgment and bearing the wrath of God that was never intended for him, but for us. Mark records, "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' Aramaic, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Keller writes, "Jesus, the maker of the world, was being unmade." Why? Jesus was experiencing our judgment day. Jesus' cry wasn't a rhetorical question. And the answer is for you and for me and for us. Jesus was forsaken by God so that we would never be. The judgment that should have fallen on us fell on the Lord Jesus. Jesus was offered a drink of wine vinegar, which he refused. And wine vinegar was essentially a numbing agent. And Jesus refused it, perhaps to more fully experiencing what he was meant to experience. And then he died. The Son of Man, the Son of God, creator of the universe, died. There was a supernatural explosion over Jerusalem at this time. The temple curtain, 30 feet high, ripped from top to bottom. And the centurion who stood guard at the cross, this is not some softy who was no auxiliary of some sort. He was a man who understood war. He understood death. He understood execution. He'd seen it all. And he proclaimed, "Surely this man was the Son of God." I've had the privilege in my life, due to the office which I hold, to be at the bedsides of many people when they have passed from this world into the next. I have held the hand of many people is they died and their spirit transferred to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an immense privilege and honor to be there at the point of death. The closest I have personally come to death was in the spring of 2008. I woke up one morning. We were serving a church in Edgington, Illinois, near the Quad Cities. And I woke up, I didn't feel well. I felt like I had a web of spider webs across the left side of my body. And it made me feel sicker and sicker as the day went on. And I went to bed that next night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was walking up and down the hallway, and I just didn't understand what the problem was. My bride came up to me. She's hiding, I think, somewhere. And she said, "I think you have a pulmonary embolism." I said, "Oh, you're crazy. I don't have a pulmonary embolism." But she scared me. She said, I think I need to go to the emergency room, which was about 15 miles away. And she said, "Well, how about if I take you, or we get a neighbor to take you?" I said, "No, I'll be fine. I'll get there on my own." And so I left the house. I don't know what time it was, 2:30 or 3 in the morning, and I drove to the emergency room at Trinity Hospital in Rock Island, Illinois. I explained my symptoms to the doctor who was serving that night, and he looked at me like I was crazy. They took an x-ray, and the doctor came in, and he was a man. He was from India, and he was very kind, and he said, "Mr. Hughes, I've got good news, and I've got bad news for you. Which would you want first?" Now, my mother, who's watching by streaming, we're not streaming today. She's not going to hear this story. That's probably good. He said, "Which do you want first, the good or the bad?" And I said, "I'm a Calvinist. Always bring the bad and follow it with the good." He had no clue what a Calvinist was, and I confused him. But he said, "Well, you've got something very serious, and it's called a pulmonary embolism. You have one or more blood clots in your lung, in your left lung. It's very serious, and you could die from this." I thought, "Well, that is bad. What's the good news?" "Well, the good news is I'm going to put you on a blood thinner called Coumadin. And it's actually rat poison. You can buy it at the hardware store off the shelf." I thought, "Oh, what's good about that?" He said, "Well, the good news is if any rodents are to bite you while you're on it, they'll die." And he laughed. He thought it was funny. I wasn't laughing at that time. But I was fortunate. I didn't die. I spent a week in the hospital. I've been on blood thinners ever since then. But God saved my life. That wasn't my time to go. But Jesus did die. It was his time. And he died on that tree in utter and complete naked humiliation. And he didn't simply die. He didn't simply suffer. Many people die and many people suffer. But Jesus bore the wrath of God on his shoulders for all of the sins of humanity for all time. He is the Redeemer of humanity. We call this day Good Friday because this is the day his blood covered our sins. But if you were present there on that day, there was nothing good about it. It was horrific. It was scary. It was terrifying. Now, as Christians, as Christ's followers, we are fortunate that we live on the other side of the story. We do not live without hope. We do not live in despair because Jesus died. We live in the true hope because on the Sunday following this day, Jesus bodily, physically rose from the dead. It is through his resurrection of the dead that those who trust in him, that those who have received him as Lord, as Savior are granted the gift of eternal life and brotherhood with Christ. Next week, we will celebrate Easter 4 months early. But before we get to Easter, before we get to the joy of resurrection, we have to understand the fullness of the passion that Jesus underwent on our behalf. To him, with the Father and the Spirit, be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. Amen.